It is a state capitol report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore legislation that would establish a state palliative care council providing guidance to the state health department on issues related to Wisconsinites seeking care for life-threatening illnesses. The World Health Organization cites tens of millions of people are in need of this care to improve quality of life. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Lynn Sexton is president and CEO of GRACE, that is a nonprofit healthcare agency providing hospice and supportive care in southern Wisconsin, and board chair of the Wisconsin Hospice and Palliative Care Association. Lynn, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. So the state assembly passes this bill that would establish a state palliative care council. Why do you support creating such a council?
In our state, we see an inadequate amount of access to this type of care, not only in hospital settings, but even more so, there's insufficient access when someone is in their own home and they need another set of eyes and ears helping guide them to relieve symptoms like pain and the stress of serious illness.
How does hospice care differ from palliative care? What is the distinction?
Yeah, great question. Lots of people are confused with that one. So hospice is meant for someone who has a prognosis of less than 6 months to live. Two doctors have to agree that that's someone's prognosis. Palliative care, however, is available to anyone at any time in their serious illness. It's meant for someone that specializes in palliative medicine. They work alongside your regular doctor, whether that's a primary care physician or some other specialist like an oncologist. A palliative care specialist works alongside those regular doctors of yours to really get at the heart of what are making your symptoms so awful and how can we improve your quality of life while you still chase after curative treatment.
So if a patient is asking for palliative care, it doesn't mean that they're not giving up on a cure or on life prolonging treatment. It's not like a choice like that.
Correct. Absolutely correct. Where hospice, by and large, is a choice, palliative care is not. You are still seeking curative treatment, but you have a set of symptoms that are really difficult for your regular doctor to get under control. And that's when your doctor could bring in a palliative care specialist to really help alleviate shortness of breath or pain or other kinds of symptoms that you're struggling with.
So members of this council would include medical professionals and people who have lived experience with palliative care. Why are these perspectives important to the council's work?
We want to make sure that the recommendations we ultimately make, not only to the Department of Health Services, but certainly to the legislature as well, those recommendations are well-rounded. And we believe that by having different voices at the table, for folks that have some experience with palliative care, whether that's people that have received palliative care or clinicians that have delivered palliative care, we want to make sure that we have a well-rounded set of perspectives as we do our work and make recommendations.
We're talking with Lynn Sexton, board chair of the Wisconsin Hospice and Palliative Care Association, as we discuss the role of palliative care in healthcare in Wisconsin. Call in with a question. You can share your perspective along the way at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Lynn, the council would aim to raise awareness and grow the use of palliative care in our state. What are some common misconceptions that you encounter about palliative care?
I would say they boil down to two major ones. One you've already touched on in one of your earlier questions to me, and that is people confusing palliative care with hospice. They are very, very different, as I explained earlier. So that's the number one hurdle that we often have to get over, that people are convinced they're being referred to a hospice provider when the word palliative care comes up. A second is just a general lack of understanding what palliative care is. It's only been a specialty since about 2006, so it's fairly new on the medical scene. And even a fair number of physicians are unfamiliar with what palliative care can do for their patients. So our hope is that one of the main things that this council will do is educate not only the general public, but also the medical community around the advantages of palliative care.
And under this legislation, the Palliative Care Council would consult the State Department of Health Services. How can the State Health Department better support palliative care efforts in Wisconsin?
I mean, one of the most basic ways is to provide information on their website. And I know that sounds so basic, but provide information on their website around what palliative care is and what it is not. Try to dispel some of those myths and how people can access palliative care. It can be difficult in some parts of our state to come across palliative care providers, but hopefully, as we raise awareness of palliative care, we will see more and more palliative care programs pop up across our state.
When you talk about that network, would this new council's work overlap maybe or work in concert with the Palliative Care Network of Wisconsin?
Certainly, in partnership with the Palliative Care Network and with the association that I represent, the Hospice and Palliative Care Association, we want to lock elbows with really any group that provides or is interested in furthering the provision of this type of care in our state. For example, just to give you a sense of the lack of availability. In our state, it can be very difficult to come across palliative care, particularly in rural communities. Palliative care first came on the scene in hospitals. So you might be admitted to the hospital, very, very sick, and your physician, while you were in the hospital, asked a palliative care clinician to come and provide a consult while you were inside the hospital. Today, 52% of the rural hospitals in our state do not provide any type of palliative care. Palliative care is even more helpful when you're discharged from the hospital and there's someone in the community that provides palliative care that can then visit you at your home and continue to make sure that your symptoms are being appropriately palliated. In our state, there's barely a dozen providers that provide palliative care out in the community.
Why do you think those gaps exist?
I think the lack of understanding of what palliative care is, and also, unfortunately, the payment stream for it. It's not a well-reimbursed type of care across our country, not just in the state of Wisconsin. And that is other work that is ongoing to try to improve reimbursement for the service so more providers are willing to adopt palliative care as part of the offering of services that they provide.
Lynn Sexton is with us, board chair of the Wisconsin Hospice and Palliative Care Association, as we discuss policies related to palliative care and improving quality of life for patients with life-threatening illnesses. Call in with a question. You can add your thoughts at 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We discuss legislation circulating at the Capitol that seeks to raise awareness about palliative care in Wisconsin and help residents receive medical care for their symptoms to improve quality of life when facing life-threatening illnesses. Call in with a question. You can add comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Lynn Sexton is board chair of the Wisconsin Hospice and Palliative Care Association. Lynn, Republican State Representative Patrick Snyder of Schofield is lead author of the bill that would establish the council. And Snyder says that similar legislation he introduced in 2017 failed to pass because of, quote, scare tactics and conspiracies, calling the council a, quote, death panel. Should people be concerned about this council potentially interfering with their medical decisions?
That's a great question. And I very much remember 2017 when this was initially introduced. No, the unfortunate misnomer held by a number of groups is that the work of a palliative care clinician is meant to hasten death, and it couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, palliative care is meant to help someone have a better quality of life as they pursue aggressive curative treatment. So this council very much is on the side of improving life, not hastening the end of it.
Let's bring on a call. Susan in Whitewater is here. Hi, Susan.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, my 82-year-old mother had a heart attack a month ago, and when we were taking her home, we had to, you know, choose between hospice and palliative care, and at the time, it just really wasn't possible to get palliative care in our area without, I mean, it just would have been so limited compared to what hospice could offer. But there were real downsides to hospice too. I mean, my mother didn't want to really look at things in terms of not having that long to live. And also, you have to give, you can't have therapy. You can't have physical therapy or occupational therapy or anything that might help somebody get better because hospice is intended to, you know, to help you die in many ways. And so, I mean, it's a shame, you know, people's situations are often, they cross categories, and it's a shame that, you know, the programs are set up so you can't really, you know, they don't overlap, I guess.
Susan, thank you for sharing your story. Lynn, what comes up here as you hear Susan's story?
I think she is spot on that it really is a shame how these programs get set up. The federal government, Medicare, is very specific about how hospice can be delivered and who it is for and who it is not for. And then palliative care and its reimbursement structure very much limits the type of resources that an organization can bring into someone's home. Now, I would argue that some amount of intervention by a palliative care clinician is better than no intervention at all. But she is spot on that there is often overlap between these two types of care, and it can be a difficult decision on which way to go for some people.
And then navigating the healthcare coverage, as you said there, the National Institute on Aging says Medicare and Medicaid may cover palliative care and private health insurance might only pay for some services. How would you advise people exploring palliative care in figuring out what services are covered by their health insurance?
Certainly, I would encourage them to call their health insurance provider to understand what benefits that they have. Some insurers will limit their members to only having, you know, three or four visits ever for palliative care. Medicare does not have any limit on the number of visits that a clinician can do, but their reimbursement is extremely low. So it's a series of pluses and minuses when you consider what different insurance programs are willing to cover for palliative care.
And that coverage would then impact how long the palliative care can last, I would imagine.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It does impact it very much so. Yes, which is a shame because study after study after study has demonstrated what palliative care can do to improve quality of life, reduce healthcare spending overall. It reduces trips to the emergency room and hospitalizations. So study after study demonstrates how effective it is all the way around, and yet we still very much struggle with having appropriate reimbursement for this program.
Lynn Sexton is with us, board chair of the Wisconsin Hospice and Palliative Care Association, as we discuss palliative care in Wisconsin. Call in with a question. You can share comments at 800-642-1234. Richard in Two Rivers is here. Hello, Richard.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for taking my phone call. I'm just going to say quickly that I worked 30 years in physical therapy. And I was licensed in the 5 states, and I worked throughout the country. And in the last 5 years, I worked in over 384 skilled nursing facilities. And I just want to say that hospice care, the importance of it is unmeasurable. Mm. And to politely correct the last caller and Lynn herself, she wasn't quite spot on. I would say the last 2 years, most of my patients were hospice patients, and they were under Medicare, which probably is the majority of the patients. And and I was doing very functional activities, such as if they just needed to get in and out of bed or on and off the commode without assistance into their later stages, or they needed massage and stretching, that's what I did. And so with that being said, I would like to ask a question somewhat unrelated but very important. With the current political situation as it is, and if it goes in one direction as opposed to the other, is there a strong possibility of losing federal and state funding because of the elector?
Richard, thank you for the call. Is there concerns, Lynn, about federal and state funding perhaps going away for palliative care?
I wouldn't say that there's fear of it going away. There's fear that all the work we've been doing to improve funding might stall out. This work has been ongoing, gosh, for 5, 6, 7 years, at least that I've been part of it, to improve funding for palliative care. And in some areas, we're making progress, and in other areas, there's skepticism. And so should there be dramatic changes in the political landscape, that definitely could stall things out.
Julia in Chautauqua called in to ask, who regulates palliative care and what can people do to help move this legislation forward?
So I'll start with the second question and then jump to the first. And I would definitely invite you to shoot off an email to your state senator and let him or her know that you very much support this bill. It's passed the state assembly and it now sits in the state senate for consideration. And we're running into a few obstacles there. So if you are interested at all in helping, send your state senator an email letting them know that you support this bill.
And then in terms of regulation of palliative care.
Yes. So the palliative care is not regulated as highly as other types of health care. Certainly the clinicians that are delivering palliative care have to be appropriately credentialed and licensed. But beyond that, there isn't as much regulation that describes what palliative care may or may not be. There's just a general agreement through various national associations that have to do with palliative care around the types of interventions and approaches that palliative care clinicians do to work alongside the patient's normal physician.
And very quickly, do you think that is a productive setup?
It's a challenging setup, frankly, mm-hmm. because what one state might call palliative care might look very different in the next state, or it could even look different from community to community because it's not specified what kind of falls into the bucket of being palliative care and what does not. So it can cause some confusion.
Lynn, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Happy to.
Lynn Sexton, board chair of the Wisconsin Hospice and Palliative Care Association, president and CEO of Agrace, a hospice provider in southern Wisconsin. And for disclosure, Agrace is a business sponsor of WPR. This is the State Capitol Report. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.